Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
I'm Dean.
Oh, I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we're continuing on our Star Wars Cringe Month with the Phantom Menace. Yes.
We've reached the end, boys. We've gone through the tunnel. We've gone through the light, and now we're back to good movies.
There's still one more tunnel. Like next week.
Oh, next week's a tunnel.
Yes.
But you should probably explain why next week's a tunnel.
Because next week we'll be doing Attack of the Clones. That's right.
We're doing all the prequels, baby. Right.
Episode 1 this week, episode 2 next week, episode 3 the week after.
We all know that months happen in 6-week intervals.
They do.
And so that is what we're doing.
All the best months come in 6 weeks.
Endor months are like a bunch of days.
Yes.
I think 44 days.
Which is
6 weeks. If you want to do the math.
Okay.
I love it when no one laughs when I say a joke. It's the best.
We're not a math podcast. We're not doing math. Anyways, let's get into this.
Literally called Birds Before Birds, but let's get
we're
into it.
We're not a research podcast. We're not a gaming podcast.
We're purely nerds on movies, really.
That's specific.
Nerd.
Three straight white guys talking about movies podcast. That was our
alternative title that we didn't go with.
It rolls off the tongue a bit better. But it was less marketable.
A little bit somehow. Who would have thought?
It didn't test well with the audience.
Anyways, getting into this episode, what did you guys think of the movie? Is this the first time you've watched it in a while? When was the last time you watched it? Either of you?
Before watching it this weekend, it was probably like only six months ago that I watched it.
Okay.
I watch them pretty regularly, yeah. And I have this one on core because it's like, if as soon as my daughter is old enough, or like, you know, both parents deem Alyssa old enough to watch the Star Wars film.
Are you just saying that because your wife's behind you right now?
Yes, exactly.
I'm fully
aware that she's in the room with me.
You're not going to watch this one first. You're going to have to start with episode 4, right?
Because this is the one. If she's younger, she'll forget it quicker and easier, and she'll have a better opinion of this movie, and then as she gets older and appreciates films more, then you drop the original trilogy.
Are you not worried at the drop in quality? Because between episode 3 and episode 4, there's a dip.
There is.
There is.
We've got greatest lightsaber fight ever, Obi-Wan and Darth Vader.
But there's Chewbacca,
But Han Solo. Episode 4 is so good. It's so much better than all the prequels.
Episode 4 is fantastic.
And I just don't think you say that she's really young and she won't remember it or whatever, but when you get around to showing episode 4, when she sits down to watch it, she'll just have some bad taste in her mouth.
No,
she won't know why.
Jason,
she'll be like, I don't like this.
That's the taste.
I really appreciate how you're telling me how to parent right now. I'm going to opt to ignore everything you're saying. That's just...
Well, what's new? Anyway,
skirting over the subject, Dean, did you like the movie? Does it still soar like a pod racer?
I enjoyed it. Actually, from the last couple of weeks, I enjoyed it a lot more. I think it was good. I had fun. It still sucks,
fantastic.
But I had fun.
Paul, what did you think
of
this
quickly,
movie?
As the only person here who non-married, non-child, I'd just like to say that, Dean, you're basically spitting in George Lucas's face. I really liked it. I still enjoy it. The last time I watched it was a couple of weeks ago, and it's still great. I can bloody remember it without having to watch it, and I really dig it. I think it's the second best of the prequels, but I would put it very close to first. I really enjoy
it. Two out of three.
It's a 2 out of 3, but it's just 2 out of 3.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like in those car races where the guy wins, but like by a fraction. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like a photo finish for you.
It's a photo finish. Well, yeah.
Out of the prequels.
I have to admit that I didn't actually watch this whole movie this time because I started watching it, like the Blu-ray, about 6 or 7 months ago, and it came up with, hey, do you want to start from where you previously left off? And I was like, you know what? I do, because I remember watching it last time and getting so bored and so annoyed that I started just putting on the commentary instead of watching the actual movie. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to start from like halfway through. And then, yeah, I watched it. And it's a much better movie when you start halfway through. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch Rogue One, when you go back and watch Rogue One, it's actually really boring for the first 2/3 of that movie. The last third is amazing.
It's like the last half, the second half of that movie is just infinitely
just
better.
Really good. And, and that's something that I've always had with like Gareth Edwards. I think that's his name, the director of that. His movies are like that. The pacing is very slow, but then he has these really great moments within the movie. And I feel like that's kind of like Episode One in a lot of ways, where
Gareth Edwards directed Episode One.
No, George Lucas directed.
I'm putting like Rogue One and, you know, like monsters and
You know that guy whose vision we ignore from time to time, Dean?
Yeah, that guy directed this one.
Excellent.
so yeah, I kind of put him in the same category because the movie, like the pacing are the same. And with this, if you sort of skip ahead a little bit, it's actually really good. And so, sort of skip a lot of Jar Jar Binks's stuff. It's decent.
No, that makes sense actually, because the majority of Jar Jar and Anakin's dialogue is in the first half of this movie.
Once that's gone,
it is
just
the worst.
Some really good battle.
It's just big boomers basically.
Because
the
first half of this movie is like, oh, that's cool. Oh, they're talking. Oh, that's cool. Oh, they're talking again.
Yeah.
And it goes up and down, like, and the dialogue sucks.
With the exception of where he's like flicking fruit into his mouth and then Liam Neeson's like, don't catch it.
Yeah, okay. With the exception with the exception of Qui-Gon Jinn, who is just pretty much
so good.
Always good in this movie.
Yeah. Yep. You know what's really like, it's frustratingly annoying is that they were so close to having like photoreal CGI characters. If they only waited maybe 2 more years, that's when we got Gollum.
Yeah.
You would have had a much better rendering of Jar Jar Binks. And maybe he'd still be just as annoying. But
maybe George Lucas just goes, look, we're 2 years off photorealistic CG characters, but this movie needs to come out now, so we'll just ditch the CG character.
Yeah. Maybe that's a way better move.
No, that was the original plan. Jar Jar was never meant to be CG. He was only meant to be a CG head, but it just didn't look right. So they canned it.
And
they brought in a whole
he
CG
was in
character,
full
but they used
costume, wasn't he?
But they used the actor. The lighting guy, the VFX guys, were like, it just gives great environmental lighting reference. But we're going to CG it because it looks better.
Well, that makes sense because it's really hard to blend the two. But then at the same time, it's kind of like it would have looked better. It would have been still pretty bad.
It's a lose-lose.
Just the technology wasn't there, I don't think, for that character. Actually, for a lot of it, the CGI is actually kind of bad in a lot of places. Well, some areas hold up really well. But I'm sure we'll
get into that as well.
Yeah, especially more so, I suppose, in Attack of the Clones with Yoda and stuff when they make him full CG instead of
Crouching
sticking
Tiger,
with
hidden
the
Muppet.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, so let's jump into the plot.
Let's rip here.
Where do we begin?
Hit hyperspace.
Spoilers begin. For anyone who hasn't seen this. I'm pretty sure if you haven't seen a
20-year-old movie, then
what are you doing?
You're like me whenever Jason talks. So we open on the beautiful planet of Naboo. A blockade. Yes.
No, we open in space.
You don't really open on the planet of Naboo.
Turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic.
Yes.
The taxation of trade routes to allying star systems is in dispute.
Yeah, thank you for
Paul,
the
your
opening
turn.
Crawl.
There's a planet. It's Naboo. You dick. We're on a mysterious fight. We're on a mysterious ship who enters one of the ships that is part of this blockade. And what we find out is that these are the, what do you call them? What do you call them? What do you call them?
Bad guys.
Jedi's? Ambassadors. These contain ambassadors, the ambassadors to talk to the Trade Federation about lifting this blockade.
Yeah.
Right.
But...
Yeah,
the ambassadors are bloody Jedi. We meet Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You heard of him? You would have if you watched the movies in the correct order.
Yeah,
they are here.
Never heard of him.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Let's just take a moment to appreciate how good Ewan McGregor is as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Just in general, like he was a perfect casting.
Yes. He is.
Yeah.
And will always be the best thing about the prequel movies. Hands down.
Of course. Yep. So good. And he just nails that performance. But anyways,
he admitted that his performance in episode one was pretty lackluster.
It gets better as
but
the
still,
prequels go on.
But it's still better than the majority of this movie.
By three, he's just owning it.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So the Jedi fool no one, and the droid tells the Viceroy that they're
There's
Jedis.
Two Jedis.
So
yeah.
Palpatine is basically just like, kill him. So they gas the room, but that doesn't work because Jedis can hold their breath or something
for a long period of time.
Anyway, they run out of the room. They kill a bunch of battle droids and they start making their way to the Viceroy's bridge. They're going to either kill the Viceroy or they're just going to capture them and force them to relinquish this blockade. They close all the blast doors. This is where we get some absolutely sick stuff showing that lightsabers can do whatever the hell you want. They're basically a key. Qui-Gon Jinn just starts cutting the door down. They're like, close the second door.
Yeah.
So they close the second door, the screen door, and he keeps coming through. Destroyers rock
basically.
Up, which are great.
I love the fact that destroyers are like really formidable in the very beginning of this movie, but by the end of the movie, Jar Jar Binks is like taking them out accidentally.
Spoilers. But yes, I get what you mean.
He fell inside of its little shield. Not all of them have shield generators.
It's
expensive, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah. It's like a peasant of the destroyer world.
Well, if you're going to send out a couple of thousand, not every single one of them is going to have a shield.
No, it's only the ones that perform well, deserve it, basically.
Exactly. It's like a reward tier.
Promotion.
It's pay to play. If we know anything about Star Wars Battlefront, it's pay to play. And that's what these guys have done. They've bought a shield generator.
I think if the Trade Federation had of like actually, you know, invested a bit more money in this, then, you know, they would have maybe won the Battle of Naboo. But, spoilers.
Well, they should probably put a bigger shield on their droid ships, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's true.
These are all good points.
Yeah. So meanwhile, all this is happening. The Jedi's ship is destroyed because, you know, again, we know they're Jedi's. So they need to find a way to get off the ship and down to the planet. There is a small armada being, you know, massed and put into the carriers. So they slip aboard one of those and we enter the planet of Naboo.
Yay. And at this point, this is basically up until this point, absolutely loving this movie. This is so
good. It's actually pretty good.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
And then we meet Jar Jar. And holy
then we
crap.
Meet Jar Jar. Jar Jar is running for his life and he gets saved by Qui-Gon, sadly.
And Qui-Gon lived to regret that for the rest of his life, which isn't very long.
That's right. But Jar Jar was a servant to him for the rest of Qui-Gon's life. Foreshadowing. Man,
if I was Qui-Gon, I would have just killed him straight away. Just
you were just like, oh no, I missed that laser ball.
Life dead. Oh jeez, that's gonna
be okay?
Forever.
No, you're
just gonna practice a little bit with my lightsaber. And oopsie. Looks like I got head off.
Oh, Misa, fine.
So this is what I'm talking about. Like, basically, then we have some dialogue and a conversation with Jar Jar, and it sucks. And then
it does suck.
But then Jar Jar's like, hey, we got to get out of here. Let's go to Gungan City. It's a hidden city.
It's a hidden city.
It is.
Underwater.
And then we move on to something pretty cool where they decide, okay, yeah, we'll go out. Oh, first of all, they need to convince Jar Jar to take him back.
Yeah. They buy him, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, they threaten him, and they Yeah,
so he goes through the planet.
Yeah. Look, the Gungan city looks awesome. And I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, this, I remember actually really enjoying the, like, loving the design of this movie. And then they get into the city and it's like, oh, it's just more Jar Jar's and this sucks.
When they do the planet core thing, mm-hmm. this movie always has like weird memories attached to it for me because it was 1999, but in 2000, some family friends went to Bali and they came back with a pirated VHS copy of Star Wars just because it wasn't out yet and I wanted to watch it. So through the entire planet core scene, because it was filmed on some dude's camera, I kind of don't see anything attacking them. But then also midway through the pod race and every single time I watch it, I know the exact point because I just have this memory. It will cut and the screen will go blue for a little bit and then it'll start about maybe 10 seconds earlier. So the guy obviously ran out of film and then had to go and see it again so he could finish the recording.
Wow.
So that's sort of like, that's episode one is, I enjoyed it because I loved it in the movies, but it's also just weird piracy thoughts.
You always get to the point, you say, hang on, I thought they repeated this shot in the movie. Oh, I guess not.
It's like, oh, they're running away from fish.
Yeah, you're like, what happened to the recap? Don't recap the section?
Whoa, replay.
They have that whole scene where they're like, it's always a bigger fish. And that actually just really annoys me, that scene. Because it's like, because they're like, oh yeah, there's always, and then they redo it. Like they go, oh yeah, there's always a bigger fish. Mm-hmm. Like basically straight afterwards, another bigger fish comes in. And I'm like, oh.
They don't really just pace it properly at all, do they?
No.
Which is like, it's quite frustrating. Also, I think we've talked about it at this point as well. Like I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on this podcast before. Why do you trust somebody that says the planet call like that? Why do you even go like, oh yeah, he's on our side.
There's got to be a hint of arrogance the there because you see Qui-Gon later on when he's betting for kids and doing all that kind of stuff. And Amidala's like,
without context,
you know, the queen would think you're reckless. It's like, well, the queen can go and shove it. And like, there's a bit of tune there. Really? And I reckon that's exactly what's happening here. I think he knows it's a trap. He knows it's sus, but he's like, I'm smarter than you. Screw you. I'm going through the planet call. What are you talking about? He's very easy to manipulate.
I'm calling a bluff kind of thing.
Yeah.
By walking straight into your trap. Got it.
So I think he's just like, all right, Boomer, let's go to the planet call.
Yeah. Okay,
Boomer.
What happens next? They
arrive at Theed, which is the capital of Naboo.
Yes,
which is where the queen is being held hostage, and they proceed to, for a moment,
captive
stealthily
state.
Walk through the city, and then very not stealthily kill all the battle droids with their lightsabers and free the queen, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they instruct the queen, "We need to bounce. It's pretty bad here." So we get excellent dialogue from a battle droid here where they're like, you know, where are you taking these prisoners? Oh, we're taking them to Coruscant. It's like, no, you're not. Kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. and then, so yeah, they kill a lot of droids in a hangar board a very cool looking ship. I still think it's a great looking ship.
I'm not a fan, but that's okay. I think it's because the aesthetic is so different to the actual like the originals, and that's what it kind of, it looks too clean for me.
That's perfect though, because this is still the Republic. Like,
I get that.
It's meant to look good.
Yeah, I get that, but that's just
it's a completely different aesthetic to the original trilogy.
Yeah, it's not a gritty space opera. It's like, this is full on sci-fi. Shiny.
But shiny. With the battle droids, something that reminded me, that's another reason why I was like, this would be the first like Star Wars movie to start your kid on, because they're not people that are getting killed. They're like, no one really, there's like two people that die in this movie.
Are you saying that robot lives don't matter?
Yes.
All right, Alan Turing.
I'm a droidist.
You're an anti-droidist.
I actually, when I was a little kid and I watched episode 4, 5 and 6, Yeah. I didn't realize that they were people until I was like an adult. I thought like the stormtroopers were robots. Yeah. Yeah.
So when Han and Luke are wearing the armor,
always confused me when I was a kid.
Are you thinking there's a weird robot skeleton somewhere? I was on
like,
this ship now.
Well, how did they get in the armor? Isn't there like a robot? Like I never really thought about it. Like
looks like droids.
So it just sort of like it. Yeah, I always thought they were robots. I don't know why.
But, yeah,
and
weird.
Then finding out that they're clones later on was like a big revelation for me too.
They're not clones, technically.
They're not clones. By the time
just
A New
throwing
Hope...
throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are they?
They're people nonetheless.
They're just humans. People. Yeah, they're human
right,
people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They talk about it in Rogue One, actually, that they're phasing out the clones and the clone blasters and all that, and they're bringing in just recruits. Yeah.
Yep.
But wasn't that after the Empire? Is that?
But they were never clones. Like, even when watching the original Star Wars, they never said anything about the stormtroopers being clones.
Yeah. By A New Hope, all the clones have been phased out because they've aged out. Because remember, they...
Right.
Man, this is
quick
like...
lifespan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. It's Bush League stuff.
Yeah, no, not really. But anyway.
Not really, no.
So what happens next? Where are we?
Yeah, great.
Well.
Good segue. Okay.
Here we enter an absolutely banging scene. The guys in the Naboo cruiser, they got to get past the blockade.
Oh, they do.
How the hell are they going to get past the blockade
with
such enormous firepower coming through them? Well, I'll tell you how. They send out a bunch of little sacrifice droids, one of which is R2-D2, which is fine. So they get on the roof of the ship. That little droid did it. And that little droid did indeed do it. He put the cable back in the port and he turned the internet back on.
The ship could then have very skilled at not being shot while sitting in the same spot the whole time.
So basically French.
A lot of skill.
I loved how this is sort of the first kind of time where you see like correct use of space where the other astromechs get shot and then just disappear and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, jeez.
That's true. Real that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like gone.
So anyway,
completely gone.
They put the shield on, bugger off out of there. But they've taken some damage and they're low on fuel. So they need to touch down somewhere where the Trade Federation isn't. And that planet is Tatooine. But why would you go to Tatooine? The Huts are gangsters.
Controlled by the Huts.
The Huts aren't looking for Queen Amidala. Over to you, Jason.
But who do we know on Tatooine? Maybe there's someone familiar. Hey, Mum. Anyways.
Jason. I've been sold to sand people.
We do get an introduction in between these scenes, though. We get an introduction of Darth Maul, and we see Darth Sidious having his phone call.
Because Palpatine's like to the Trade Federation's, look, you done stuffed up. I'm going to have to bring in my boy here.
Send my apprentice here.
Which Trade Federation, there's like some sort of subtle racism going on in this whole...
Oh, I thought we were going to not mention that, but that's...
Especially, let's
dive in.
I think you mispronounce blatant obvious as well.
Mm-hmm. It's not very subtle. It's not subtle at all. The Trade Federation guys, and Watto for sure.
Every single alien species in Star Wars since A New Hope has pretty much been a stereotype.
Yes.
But
What are you talking about?
It's so bad. So they get to Tatooine and you just continue on, Paul. You're doing better than I am.
They get to Tatooine and they're going to go into the town to see if they can find, as you can probably pick up,
this is probably not where I started the movie.
No, I'm going to keep throwing it back to Jason. I'm going to keep throwing it back to Jason to figure out where he started.
Excellent.
So they walk into town, and then what happens, Jason?
You'll be waiting a long time.
Make a signal, and then I'll cut.
And they're in Coruscant somehow, quickly. Wow, amazing.
So they basically meet Anakin at this point, right?
They do.
Yes, they do. Well done.
That's correct.
Look at you.
Oh, also the Queen requests that one of her handmaidens go.
And the Queen is played by Keira Knightley.
Yes, she requests... The handmaiden is played by the Queen.
Yeah. did request that Padme go with them, Natalie Portman's character. And obviously there's nothing sus about that.
Like,
yeah.
No. Well, she's curious about the planet.
Yeah. And they come across because they've got to get something fixed or something. Or
hyperdrive.
Other,
they need to get a T-14 hyperdrive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's they the come across.
Nubian!
they come across little Anakin Skywalker who can fix the fix it for him. And
little
then we get
slave
some,
boy.
Oh, yeah.
Get some of the worst dialogue ever when he's like, basically, are you an angel and all this stuff.
You thought that stuff with Jar Jar Binks was bad. Well,
yep.
George Lucas has got a surprise for you.
Welcome, yeah.
Oh, it's
welcome
so...
to child actors
but
in Star Wars.
He's not a slave. He's a person, and his name is Anakin.
I don't think that it's his acting that's the problem. Like this dialogue, don't think anyone could actually say it.
Well,
well.
I do. Have you seen the behind the scenes where they went through the casting?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's and you also good. Actually see Jake Lloyd's audition and
you see all of
a bunch
it.
Of unused takes where he's actually fantastic.
And he is brilliant. Apparently, it's scripting that's the problem here.
Scripting and the direction. So that's the thing. Like a lot of people didn't realize like. They basically, like, George Lucas wasn't a particularly good director on this movie with acting.
There was a lot going on. I think the Tatooine stuff, because, like, even in the behind the scenes, again, all of the stuff they filmed in the desert just went horribly wrong.
Right.
Like, big old storms came through. It blew the entire set apart. When they built all the pod race, they actually built the pod races and they had them all set up to film the next day.
Yeah.
Storm came through and destroyed everything.
Wow.
So I'd say there's a lot of stress and like,
oh yeah,
yep, that was awesome.
Just
all right, cut,
not
move,
focusing on the acting and
you're just kind of going to give a crap about him at this point.
I think that kind of it comes like it shows. It really does because it's sort of like he's really focused on all the technical side of things.
Oh yeah,
forgets the actual like the performances
to give any direction.
Completely gone.
To,
another payday to daddy.
And it's
how was that delivery? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we were going for a take. That's fine.
I was on the go.
I feel like younger George Lucas was a little bit wiser, and that's why he sort of gave it off to like Ivan Kershner and that.
Yes.
For the
Irvin.
Sequels.
Who? Irvin.
Ivan's his dad.
Irvin? Is it Irvin Kershner?
Ivan Kershner.
Irvin.
Nubian!
Oops. I said Ivan, didn't I?
Ivan Kershner.
Ivan
Irvin. That's the dad that couldn't get out of Russia.
Where are we in this movie?
We meet Anakin. We figure out that he's pretty with it in terms of crap. Qui-Gon's talking to Watto, his master. And Anakin's master, not Qui-Gon's master. Weird.
Yeah.
And basically, he's just like, I want that hyperdrive. I'll give you Republic credits. But Republic credits are no good out here. Republic credits are good out here. No, they're not. Basically, Watto can't be screwed with force-wise. And if he wants those parts, he is going to need to trade something or pay with something that's not Republic credits. And I guess you could use that non-calamari stuff
only,
that we see
money.
On The Mandalorian. We hear, you know, there's a lot of currency. So anyway, Qui-Gon's screwed. So they leave. And is this where we meet Sebulba? Yeah, they're wandering around outside.
Yes.
They have to wander outside.
First of all, there's a weird point.
Jar Jar starts eating stuff.
Yeah, there's a weird point where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are, for a brief, very brief moment, contemplating selling off the Queen's clothes. Wardrobe, yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I'm sure that's definitely something that's within your power right now to make that call. Sure, love that. Anyway.
Nice.
Luckily, they...
I like it.
Yeah. They decide...
I mean,
not
there's
to do
droids,
that.
But hey, clothes.
Yeah.
You could sell R2D2.
You could literally sell anything, but no, we'll go straight to the clothes.
You could sell Jar Jar.
Straight to the clothes.
Yes, but no clothes.
Please sell Jar Jar.
You want another slave?
The Queen's wardrobe. Did you look anywhere else? I mean, no, but why would I? The wardrobe.
Yeah, have you checked the ship for anything? Yeah, I went all through her wardrobe.
What are you doing in my room?
Obi-Wan is
Jedi business. I don't want to buy death sticks. So they're all walking around the market in Tatooine. Jar Jar decides to just eat some street meat. He then realizes he's got to pay for it. So he spits it out and hits
disgusting
a new nemesis. Mm-hmm. I forget what kind of a thing he is, but his Doug, name is Sebulba. He's a Doug.
Very, hits very ruthless Doug.
Sebulba wants to turn him into goo, but then Anakin mm-hmm. rocks up and he hits him with some absolutely sick burns.
Oh, yeah.
And makes him go away. I don't know why you wouldn't just beat the child as well. But hey, that's just me. Well,
like, how much do slaves cost, really?
Sebulba's kind of cool like that, but he's like basically he's going to threaten Anakin to like kill him in the pod race. So it's sort of like,
by golly, does he try?
Yeah. Yeah. He's cool. Oh, like, man. He's like, I won't beat a child in the street, but I'm happy to kill him in a race.
Look, yes. That's I know we're enjoying happened, going yeah. into this, but can we just skip ahead to that pod race, please? Because.
Okay. So after he. No, because we're missing really important things. Like, storm's do coming, we? Annie. You better get inside.
Oh, and also you can't forget the you'll never get it finished, Annie. That whole thing.
No, that's later. That's later on.
These are great lines.
Like, yeah. If you weren't happy,
that's after
with
the part. That's
one
after.
Bad child actor. Like, here's another five. But hey,
and we also get like the introduction of midichlorians around this time.
Oh, freak.
So basically,
C-3PO. I don't like this personally. C-3PO. Yeah, I don't like that C-3PO was built by Anakin. I think that's just a bit messy.
Well, why? Yeah. Who else would build him?
Literally anyone else. Watto. Like, it just doesn't need to be tied in that
much. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and
even especially later on. Sorry, but like later on. He doesn't really give a crap about 3PO. He's just like, all right, R2, let's go. And 3PO's like, you built me.
Yeah.
I can fit in that jet. We can go. Let's go right now.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No, he's very he doesn't even bother finishing him. He just like buggers off. Yeah.
That's why Obi-Wan likes him so much, because he's like, no wardrobe.
Oh, also, he leaves. like, on his way out, he gives C-3PO an identity crisis, just like a massive complex. But, I'll make sure that mum doesn't sell you off with parts or anything. He's like, what? Why would you even say that? That's all he's going to think of. Jeez. Anyway.
Well, anyway, so they have dinner. They meet Anakin's mum, Shmi. She's cool. Anakin's really quick. Qui-Gon reckons that he's one with the Force, so that's pretty sweet as well.
Yeah.
Post-race, they're like, we are going to make a play. Oh, hang on a second. No.
Wait, are you skipping ahead past the pod race?
No, I was going to get to like the other bits where they make a, like he shows in the pod, it works, it's working. And then Qui-Gon goes to Watto and he's like, oi. Ladbrokes has a deal where you can get a boy and his mother. And Watto's like, no.
Yeah.
No, this is
a scam.
Quick bet.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
He's like, we'll just do the boy.
We're not doing multis.
We're not
doing first round multis.
It gets too messy.
We've got to bet on one of them. So Watto pulls out a dice that's obviously loaded.
If people are confused at this point. So basically they figure that there's no other way to get the money. They have to bet on the pod races and they have to use Anakin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
That's right. Because the Force is with him.
And the Queen's wardrobe is just
like midichlorian count is like through the roof.
Oh, yes.
Queen's wardrobe betting on a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, morality's also gone out the door here.
Well, it started at a low point when they were going through the wardrobe of the Queen, but you know, it's not much lower.
They walk into the pod race and Qui-Gon's like, did you get a new robe? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It'd be so funny when he's
got a full headdress and everything.
He's got like massive earrings dropping down. Just like,
I love pod racing.
So they get to the pod racing. We get a really nice cameo in all this kind
of
thing. We get a Warwick Davis cameo. He comes in at some point.
And Jabba.
Same character that he plays in Solo. Fun fact.
Yep. Is it really?
Yeah.
I like that. That's nice. That's a nice tie-in.
Quite interesting.
And also, Qui-Gon's bet on the kid. Qui-Gon's bet on Anakin. If he wins, he gets the kid.
That's Crack very on. Important.
Is this where you started watching, Jason?
No, this is nowhere. I'm still like past this.
Still ages. Okay.
So, like, I realized that I only watched, like, the last act of the movie, pretty much.
Wow.
So, anyway, they were celebrating 20 minutes of pretty much mediocre crap.
Of just dialogue and crap and all that. And then we get to the pod race.
The pod race was awesome. So good.
I dislike anyone that says this scene goes on for too long.
I would love it if it went longer. Well, in the most recent Blu-ray editions, they just were like, yeah, bugger, we'll throw all the scenes in.
Yeah.
And it does go for longer. It goes longer than the theatrical, which is so fantastic. Good. You see Saboba flinging tools into other people's engines. You see the sand people shooting folks.
Best thing about it, it's got everything.
It's a great movie to show your three-year-old.
Was that not in Was that not in the actual theatrical?
There's one scene. There's a scene where they shoot at Anakin, and it just pings off his chassis. But that wasn't in the theatrical release.
Yeah, right. I thought it was.
It does. That actually makes a lot of sense because it does seem longer than what I remembered it was seeing it at the movies.
Yeah.
There's a whole scene where, like, Anakin's also getting sort of shoved into a wall and he does, like, a cool flip. There's a few choice scenes that just aren't in it.
Yeah, right. I love all of it. It's so fun. And really cool how they did it. Most of it's projection mapping, isn't it?
And photo scans.
Yep. And a lot more practical effects than you'd expect for the pod race. Which is just like, it's so cool.
That's right.
But, anyway.
So anyway, Anakin, one with the Force, ends up winning, which is so good.
Yes.
So he gets to leave his mom on a planet.
Yeah. He just ditches her. He's like, yep.
Just what every boy wants.
They get the T-16 hyperdrive. They get the T-14 hyperdrive.
He does have a moment where he actually says goodbye to his mom at least.
And then he turns around and runs back. And you're like,
And I wish he had have run back and just been like, oh no, I just forgot something, and just ran past his mom and just like grabbed it and then kept going.
Come on, 3PO.
Would have been really good to sow the seed if he ran back and just finished his mum off. Let's go.
It's just that's a subtle foreshadowing of what's going to happen next.
Oh, I know. Imagine's like, oh, come on, mum. I talked to Watto and you're free as well. Yeah. No, you won't blow up if you come with me. No, that's not going to
It's just loads of blaster behind
all of Watto's. All of Watto's like gangsters are there, like, you know, not letting her leave. And she's like, Anakin, there's too many of them. What are we going to do? That's where it starts.
Oh no. No, because if they try to escape, they'll blow up because they got the chip in them. So
they do, yes.
Yeah. Because they're just like, yeah, no, that's fine, it's fine. Just run off with me. Totally. It'll be fine.
Keep going.
Go and sit up the back. You know what? Go and sit in the escape pod, it's very comfortable there.
Yeah, you get your own room.
As they're leaving, they have the first interaction with Qui-Gon Jinn has a fight with Darth Maul.
It's pretty cool.
I love how obedient Anakin is because they're running and they're absolutely hauling it back to the ship. And you see Maul coming in behind him and he just goes, Anakin, drop. And he just drops. Whereas, you know, someone you've known for maybe 24 hours, you'd be like, why?
Yeah. He like completely... I've never met a child that listens like that. Like,
but, hey, look, yeah, he's
to
a slave.
Parent, let alone to he like a stranger.
Very used to being told what to do.
That's true. Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Great point, Dave. Mm-hmm.
That is a great point.
Yep. And that's why he's so good.
It would be great
good.
If they also did reverse psychology. It's like, Anakin, don't drop. He's like,
screw you. No, but he's so good at following orders because that's what he knows. And that's why later on, when he's an older Jedi, he's good at following orders. That's why he never gets into trouble.
Orders 1 through 66.
Nice. I don't really like that. Doesn't really work though because
it doesn't.
Conflicting orders from different
and
sides.
He seems to just want to do everything that Obi-Wan tells him not to. That's like that's his thing. It's like Obi-Wan told me not to do this, so I'll do it.
Yeah.
YOLO. So anyway, he drops obediently, which is great. It's a good sign for a Padawan.
Yeah.
And then Maul has a great fight with Qui-Gon. This fight here, I still think should, like, because Maul doesn't fire his double lightsaber. He only has he's only using one side. It's a very fair fight. The fact that the double sided lightsaber appeared in the trailer, I think, was such a huge failure on the trailer house's behalf, because you wouldn't have known. There'd be absolutely no way of knowing that that's a double ended.
It would have been
lightsaber.
A bigger reveal, like a more amazing, like whoa moment than Rey catching the lightsaber and the Force Awakens.
Yes, yes, yes. It would have. No, nothing. Know about it. no, nothing.
What,
so
what did you say? What?
So Qui-Gon's is shush. Hey, do you notice how we're trying to get away from it? So
I missed it.
Okay, Qui-Gon fights Darth Maul. Shut up. Yeah. Qui-Gon fights Darth Maul, and it's pretty good. He's holding his own because Qui-Gon's pretty strong. And Anakin buggers off to the ship, and instead of shooting him, oh no, there's no guns on the ship. So basically, Qui-Gon gets to a point where he can jump from Tatooine to the landing deck of the ship, and they peace out, and they're on the way to Coruscant.
Coruscant, yes,
Jason.
Coruscant. So they
still not up to where.
They arrive at Coruscant.
Yeah, Coruscant. They do things.
They meet the Chancellor.
Yeah,
meet the Chancellor.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not Chancellor. He's
No, I'm talking about Chancellor Valorum.
Yeah.
Valium?
Yes.
Valorum?
Valorum.
Valorum.
Valium. They go to Coruscant and they meet Chancellor Valium.
Yeah. He's super chill. And he's so
super
chill.
Super chill. Hey.
Hey, guys. When did you get in?
How you going? So they
do
that.
Why
they
doesn't do anything in the Senate.
Yeah. No, they does nothing.
The political people wander off. They're like, we've got a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Anakin all go back to the Jedi Council, where Qui-Gon Jinn asks permission to train Anakin as his new apprentice. He's not allowed. He's already got an apprentice. Mm-hmm. But then Qui-Gon's
and
like,
also,
Obi-Wan's
also Anakin's too old. Really old as well, apparently.
Well, he is.
Too old
start
for
training
a Jedi.
At four,
yeah.
And he's nine.
Yeah. So they're like, we're not going to train this kid. And Qui-Gon's like, okay.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Yeah, yes, it's absolutely okay, Boomer. But they're concerned. And if this is a sort of foreshadow, they're worried because Anakin might be strong on the dark side.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Absolutely wild.
Mm. And
so it's really because Qui-Gon doesn't like listening to rules either. And that's
right.
That's why things suck.
Hey, okay, Boomers, the Jedi Council.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the most interesting... Sorry, Jason.
Is this when the prophecy is first introduced? That,
yes.
They believe he's part of the
prophecy.
Yeah,
Qui-Gon talks about it. He believes he's the chosen one.
Yeah, and that he's going to bring balance to the
Force. So high.
Mm-hmm. Also, there was something that I actually found out today that I thought was kind of cool. Based on the design of Yoda, Stuart Freeborn... He created the original design for Yoda, and he based the actual design on a combination of himself and Albert Einstein. Einstein. So if you have a look at any images of him,
he looks like Yoda.
Yeah, he looks
What's
like
his
Yoda.
Name?
Stuart Freeborn. So he is actually
hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I seen an interview with him today where you have a look at it because
Holy
he was like,
crap,
I've got an unusual looking face and I look a little bit interesting. I'm gonna put that into the design. And he's like, I also wanted him to look wise, so I was like, I'm gonna get Albert Einstein and use that as a reference.
Brilliant.
And
his forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Goodness me, that's unreal.
Yep. Yeah,
that's
really cool. Like I only learned that today.
Like that.
Yeah, that's a little bit of useless trivia for you guys. But yeah.
Well, it's speaking of useless, we then cut to the council chambers of the Republic where Padme's like, the friggin' Trade Federation's shooting us, and the Trade Federation's like, no, we're not. So they move, they want Chancellor Valorum to do something about it, but this is where corruption takes place.
Yes.
And Valorum basically sits on his hands and says, there's nothing we can do. We can send someone out in a few months if that's cool with you. And then straight up, she's like, nah, no confidence. And they basically vote Chancellor Valorum out, the guy
who
is giving them sanctuary.
Fully ready for this vote.
She. But isn't that so good? Because, like, Palpatine's in her ear the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's manipulating this thing on such a level. It's so next level what he's doing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. he gets elected as Chancellor.
What?
Crazy. Absolutely wild.
I think these are the things that I didn't appreciate. Like, I know, like, a lot of people have, like, their qualms with it all mm-hmm. being about, like, politics and stuff like that and just basically trade negotiations and all this like, stuff in the background. But there's things that are actually occurring in this film that are actually really quite interesting when you really nail it down. And yeah, you I think look just, at what's going on.
It's just because it was done so dryly, though.
Yes, that's true.
I was like, think how much better it would have been if they took the House of Cards approach to
I was thinking,
cool. politics.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, yeah.
I was thinking so Game of Thrones, to be honest.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I was thinking,
yes.
like, early seasons of Game of Thrones.
Oh, my goodness.
If you gave... Even, like, I know, like, everyone sort of exiled the writers of Game of Thrones now. Mm-hmm. But you gave them the prequels...
Yeah,
and you gave them all this story, like the blueprint, everything like that. I think they would have made a great trilogy.
The key elements is
they
would have explored a lot more of the personal relationships combined with the politics, as opposed to being completely separate story arcs.
Yeah, and that's where it really fails.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh no, it's all about the politics, and that's kind of
boring.
Zero
emotion.
Yeah.
Played out in any of the political conversation, and it's so dry and flat.
Yes.
It's really
a little bit.
Yeah,
but I guess, like, yeah, in hindsight, and if you read the books and if you do all this other stuff, which obviously you shouldn't have to,
it's pretty interesting.
But if you do, it makes it super interesting.
Yes, also
I
the Clone Wars as well.
Yes,
it's just like that show just makes the prequel movie.
It extends it. It's great.
Yeah,
because everyone's like, wow, this sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But hey, that is just extended, you know, extra homework that not many people want to do.
No,
so,
not at all.
Really, face value.
I can understand
prequels,
it. Yeah, it's not
pretty sucky.
Not yeah.
Mm. Anyway,
you shouldn't have to do
next?
Extra research for it to be enjoyable. Anyways, okay. What happens next?
Oh, so you still haven't started watching it?
Nope. I also like
this is the point where I was asleep. So
this is
entirely
the problem.
Up to you, Paul.
We didn't decide what we were doing this week until tonight, and I was like, you know what? We're going to cover all three prequels in this one episode of the show.
So
that would have been.
I'm just gonna watch the end of it and then watch the other two. I watched the other two movies completely through. But I didn't watch the first one because I was like, oh, yeah, like there's stuff that happens, but more happens in Attack of the Clones.
Up, mate.
I did. So now I look like a complete loser because I've like stuffed it around. Yeah.
What's new? But hey.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's true. What happens next, Paul?
All right. Amidala, sick of this crap and also her people are dying. So they're like, let's go back to Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
Jedi Council tells Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan to accompany her, but hey, don't take any more Padawans because you're not allowed to.
Nope.
Basically, they get back to Naboo and they go and seek out the Gungans who have left their underwater lair and gone to an above water lair.
Yeah.
And they convince Boss
Nass
to help us because.
And they've also exiled Jar Jar Binks, right? Because he's like clumsy and everything. And he straight up is like, I'm going
to
give...
Promoted to general.
Yeah, well, no, he's promoted to general later on. But he's like, I'm straight up, like, I'm exiled, but I'm going to give away my secret location to all these people.
They should have killed him.
They should have killed him. They really should have killed him. So, yeah, they go to the secret location and then they're like, yeah, can you fight with us? And this is when... I realized that there's a mispronunciation. As you can see, this is actually where I started watching it. But this is where I realized
Welcome
there's a mispronunciation
the
between Gungans and Gungans. They're in the actual movie. Have you realized that? So the actual Gungans say Gungans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon says
they
Gungans.
They also say Misa instead of me.
Padme says Gungans. Qui-Gon says Gungans.
Maybe it's a Naboo thing. Oh. Maybe it's like only if you're from Naboo can you say Gungan.
Maybe.
It's their word.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then so basically
it's like
they're
how
like, can
New
you
Zealanders
fight with us?
Say yeah. New Zealander and everyone else says Kiwi. It's just same thing, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Like we call it New Zealand, but they call it New Zealand. Not the right one to choose there. Anyway, they convince Bosnarz to help him out. And Bosnarz is like, all right, let's fight.
Everyone says Boston, and they said Boston.
He doesn't say yes, because the decoy is like, I'm gonna beg for you to, like, what? I'm gonna ask for you guys to help us. And then
speed through it, but yeah.
Then Padme steps forward and she goes, no, I'm actually the queen. And she outs herself as the queen. She goes, I ask you to help us. No, I beg you to help us. In the flattest delivery that you can find in any of
it's
these.
Quite bad.
Like, it's really bad.
This must have been a really bad day of production.
It must have been.
It sounded like Mace from the Ewok movies.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Help us. Get away from her, you.
And then she fully kneels down when she does it. She goes, I ask you to help us. No, I beg you to help us. And that's it. I'm like, wow, that was emotional. But
everyone kneeling. But also, I feel pretty bad for her handmaiden. It's like she fully just like completely disses her. It was like,
what? Meat shield?
Yeah, no, she's like talking. It's like, oh, hey, look, sorry, my handmaiden, she stuffed up the script. She didn't read it right. So I'm just going to ad lib here. And then just takes over. It's like, that's crap, man.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
Anyway, yes. That's what you get to do when you're the queen.
That's true. That's
step
true.
All over people. Mm-hmm. So Jar Jar gets straight up promoted to general, even though he doesn't know anything about being a general.
Just going back. Hang on, real quick. So you forgot the bit where Bosnarz goes, if we're just going to cover everything.
Good. So the first thing that Jar Jar does in the battle is almost kill about four of the Gungans by swinging a sphere EMP ball thing around.
They're called boomers.
They're called? Boomers.
Yeah. Okay, big boomers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And yeah, like I was like, yeah, great. You promoted this guy to general. Like the worst army ever.
Instant regret on that decision. There must have been because holy crap.
So I don't understand, but why is Anakin brought along to the whole battle?
Because he's a weird kid and you don't want to just leave him. The kid.
I think it's just like they literally didn't leave anyone behind. They needed everyone to go either battle, like if you're Gungan, you're over here. If you're human, you come with us.
They could have left him in like the forest or something. He doesn't really need to be.
We'll just abandon a kid in a forest.
It's probably better than bringing him onto a battle zone. Like,
because honestly, who's going to miss him?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, his mum. That's his
name. Well, she's missing him anyway, so she doesn't know.
Well, Qui-Gon took him as an act of defiance. He's like, I'm training the kid, man. Because he's basically saying, Obi-Wan is ready to take the test. He's ready to be a Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
And then that leaves me free to take a Padawan. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting a bit of an early start.
He's fully knuckling down. Like, people are probably at this point being like, what you're doing, Jace. It's like, look, we can't take a kid to a war zone. And Qui-Gon's like, look, stop telling me how to parent. I'm gonna
take him wherever I want to
start with the war zone.
Yeah, he's like, yep, you know what? I'm gonna use him as a human shield. No. That's what I'm gonna do.
I'm sick of it.
Because I'm Qui-Gon Jinn.
I know how to raise this kid.
That's what I do.
So, you know what?
Yeah. He's like, how do you think Obi-Wan became so badass?
That's right. Oh my god.
You think Obi-Wan was only born with seven toes? Nope.
Oh my god. So the Gungans amass a huge force in a field, and the Trade Federation sends a huge droid army out to go and meet them. Meanwhile, this is all just an elaborate ploy. They're just going to send the natives to die whilst the land dwellers attack the palace. Mm-hmm. And with pretty decent numbers, they break their way through. They break into the palace itself where they're running through, the running and gunning. And they arrive at the hangar when the doors open, revealing Darth Maul, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Do you think Darth Maul was standing behind that door?
10 minutes.
Waiting.
Yeah. Easily. He's waiting.
And he's just like, is this my moment?
He knew that they were going to raid, but he didn't tell anyone just for that face-off. because everyone else is surprised by the attack. But he's waiting behind that door.
That's pretty, right.
Yeah.
He's probably stalking them the whole time. He's like, all right, they're going to go through this. Damn it. Okay, hang on.
He's like, okay, literally, there's like a deleted scene of him running through the palace, like trying to get into the right doorway in a, like ahead of them kind of thing.
He's running through, destroying all the other doors they could. He's like, okay, if they come to the hangar, I've already disabled everything else. This is the only way they can come. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'll stand here now.
Stand, like in your pose. Get your pose.
He's Italian jobbing them. That's pretty much it. He's cutting off every
he's
other
Italian
room.
Jobbing it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So we have the
whole fight with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Darth Maul.
Someone's
and
resumed really awesome. Playback.
Shundan.
Yes,
Shundan.
I have.
Shundan. Shundan.
Yeah.
Shundan.
And
Shundan.
The Duel of the Fates theme Shundan. Comes in. Shundan. So we've got some great John Shundan. Williams score Stop. Coming through. Okay. And thank you. Thank you, Dean.
Shut up.
That's really setting the mood. And so we have them fighting and then I will wake up my whole house if I did that right now.
You suck. Water literally came out my nose.
They have their whole fight, and it's pretty awesome. And then there's that moment when Obi-Wan falls down off like those massive ledges onto another ledge, and I had the gif in my head. the gif in my head going over and over. You know, like the loop.
Oh, where he jumps back up and then falls back down.
Yeah, where he falls down falling. And he just keeps falling and keep falling. And
that's pretty funny.
It's actually, this movie's a lot better when you have some of those gifs in your head that are out there, like, because there's so many of the prequels made into memes or whatever.
Oh,
it's so much better just thinking of some of those. But then they have like a moment where Qui-Gon and Darth Maul sort of follow each other into this doorway, these laser timed doorway room thing. But I was like, what is the point of this room?
So from what I've read, okay.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
An actual answer.
The reason for this is because where they end up fighting is like the main power generation for the palace. And the reason that those ray shields are put there is to limit the radiation coming out. It's like a heat sink. So they'll close.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
To allow some sort of cooling and then open again to just, it's stupid. There's absolutely no reason. No. Like it's plot. Honestly.
Yeah.
But that is, I'm pretty sure that.
It does look cool, but it's just, it made me wonder, like, why are they like
the other thing is like, and it's in pretty much every single Star Wars film, is like, handrail is just super expensive to put in.
No.
In this universe.
That's right.
It's like, OH&S is not a big thing.
Okay.
It's just like, a nightmare.
Ramps look
like
way cooler.
Yeah.
With more imminent threat of falling off them.
Oh yeah, and, for sure. Yeah,
makes sense.
Well, you think of the guys that like are in the Death Star that are operating the actual, like the
yes. Oh, like in Blue Harvest, the Family Guy ripoff. They do that whole. Like that whole joke.
It's a power generator. So I'm looking to see what all the other nerds on.
I was like,
I was like, why
it's
are you
just a power generation room?
The Battle of Naboo is going on outside as well. It. And so.
That's right. In the grass plains.
Mm-hmm. In the.
And also, Anakin sort of smuggles his way into a ship and flies off.
He doesn't smuggle. He sits in it. And Qui-Gon's like, oh, no.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you stay there.
Presses a button and then,
and he's like, I wonder how this works, but he's immediately able to fly it. So,
ultra spinning.
Yeah. So, anyone that has any complaints about Rey being able to like do stuff in the sequel.
They have never watched another Star Wars movie.
Have
ever,
never watched.
In Anakin's defense, though, I mean, they did already establish that he was a good pilot and that he has quick reflexes due to the pod racing. So flying a ship in three dimensions is not that different. Whereas with Rey,
she's a good speed, like she's good at being on a speed bike and she's good at kicking butt with the stuff. Like you know.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas we already had this preamble of him being a pod racer.
Yeah,
so when he jumps into a fighter, you're like, it's basically pod racing, but a little bit slower.
You know.
Yeah, and, okay. Yeah.
And faster, Luke Skywalker, just in case my sarcasm isn't obvious, I'm on your side, Jason.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker took a whole 3 years to become a Jedi Knight, you know. But they established that he was good at shooting rats in the desert. So,
oh, that's right. That yeah.
16 back then.
That's it.
Yeah. So, anyways, so the two main
plus
contributors.
Plus, also, he's the son of the Chosen One, Dean.
Do we know that?
In that Luke Skywalker is the son of Anakin Skywalker. Yeah.
But do we know that Anakin Skywalker is the Chosen One in A New Hope?
Is he the Chosen One?
Do we? Yes.
Is
he even the Chosen One?
We find that in Return of the Jedi.
But in A New Hope?
That's where we're talking about him being a Jedi Master.
Wait, what? But is he the actual Chosen One?
Yeah. They talk about it.
They also talk about that idea that the prophecy could have been misread and those kind of things. Yoda says it in Attack of the Clones. He said, dangerous.
No, we're talking about the original trilogy, dude.
Yeah, but you don't find out that Anakin's the chosen one in the original
trilogy. They talk
trilogy.
About it.
Really?
I swear they do. I swear either Obi-Wan or Yoda talk about it. Or they talk about Obi-Wan's old Padawan meant to bring balance to the Force, but he was killed by Darth Vader.
You would think. We would know exactly what happens in those movies by now.
But you wouldn't watch them enough.
Yeah,
I've watched them a lot, but I don't think that was. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be in a future podcast. We'll work that out. So, the two main contributors to winning the Battle of Naboo, clumsy Gungan Naboo.
Naboo.
Look, I said it wrong, but let's just skim over it and go on.
Oh, okay. That's what we do when we mispronounce things on this show, isn't it?
So high in the atmosphere in the Battle of Ubute. Ubute.
Look, I said Naboo wrong. I'm sorry. But it was a slip of the tongue.
Beaker.
It was not an intentional
Jason
mistake.
Jason became Beaker in the Muppets.
Naboo.
No, don't pick on him. It was a slip of the tongue. So they're in space.
Look. Okay. The main contributors of winning the Battle of Naboo,
nice. Look at you.
Are a clumsy Gungan who accidentally kills everyone and a kid who accidentally kills everyone.
Yes.
They win the whole fight.
And a Jedi who purposefully kills someone.
Well, yeah, no, but they're not really doing much in the way of the battle. They take out one person. It's not really.
Darth Maul would be pretty brutal to everybody else if he was let loose.
I just don't think he'd win against
He was sent there purely for the Jedi. He was sent there as a message.
Yeah, it's not. He's not there for the battle. But anyways, so
but you are right. Yes, a clumsy Gungan.
Yeah,
who lets the big boomers run away?
And
I like how they had a shield. Their big old shield generator was cool.
Yeah,
and as soon as that shield generator got hit, they're like, "All right, we're out.
We're done. Evacuate."
Right?
Even though they take the massive baskets of weapons and they just don't use them. They're like
the boomers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, take their boomers.
Qui-Gon and Darth Maul are having their fight while Obi-Wan gets stuck behind one of the laser time door things. And Qui-Gon gets stabbed through the stomach and collapses straight away. And he doesn't come back to consciousness till after Obi-Wan defeats Darth Maul.
That's right.
As we know, he doesn't kill Darth Maul because Solo confirmed that he's still alive. He's still out there.
Mm.
But
plus Clone Wars. The sheer aggression as soon as that door drops and Obi-Wan runs in and he's in hot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a great scene. He just, it's that one moment where, and you never see it happen again. It's that one moment where he loses control for a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. It's the best bit of choreography in this scene, I reckon.
Yeah. Where he ignored his own advice. He didn't have the high ground.
He didn't have the high ground.
He did not have the high ground, but it worked out the best for him because Darth Maul waited a little bit too long to take a swipe.
He wasn't expecting it. And that's why Obi-Wan was expecting it, because he's like, I've been here before.
I know what you're about to do.
You're not going to get me, you tricky boy.
No. You're not going to get me with my own move. But yeah.
Sneaky beaver.
He probably taught him the move. So that's right. Yeah.
They defeat the Trade Federation, and the guys, like the leaders of the Trade Federation, are being taken away when the Chancellor arrives.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking in this moment, like, so the bad guys are getting taken away and the Chancellor arrives and they don't rat him out.
Because they haven't seen his face.
Oh,
because he's still got that crap.
It's so dumb. Look,
It's so like Clark dumb. Kent.
How can you? Yeah, yeah. It's
he has a whole different voice on Jason.
No,
just
it's like you see.
I'm Senator Palpatine. I'm Darth Sidious.
Oh wait, Paul, is that you?
No,
Paul. Are you sure?
Who is this?
Are you changing your voice?
Put your hands over your eyes, like he, over the top of your face, and then do it.
He sounds and like someone with limited power.
Something. You convinced me. Something.
I find it kind of comical, the idea that he's like getting changed every 5 seconds into his like robe, and then he has it right over his eyes where it'd be terribly hard to see. It's just very inconvenient. Like, I can imagine when he's walking around with Darth Maul earlier on in this episode, he's like running into walls and stuff. Like, just
because he can't see properly. Damn it!
Oh! I ran into the wall.
Why is the table still there? I said no ankle length furniture. I said that they should clean the room when I become Darth Sidious. Okay, you need to clean the room, empty it of all the furniture, so I can be Darth Sidious. I'm in my dark place.
I'm in my dark place.
I am sending my apprentice, Darth Maul. He will. Oh, well, frick, where did you? Have you been staying there the whole time?
At last, we'll show our presence. Oh!
What do you know about me?
I thought you were on the phone.
Chancellor, is that you?
Imagine if somebody walked into his chambers while he was doing that. Yeah. And it's like, very...
what are you doing?
Imagine if he just has like really gnarly morning voice and that's the Sidious voice. So he like... Is it a sleepover with the other senators? I don't know. But he wakes up in the morning, he's like, ah, oh, what a good sleep. And they're like, man, do you sound familiar? Yeah. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We've been looking for a Sith.
Have you heard the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
I find it a little bit ridiculous that he's walking around in that robe whenever he becomes Darth Sidious. Like, is it the robe that he's wearing all the time? He's not wearing it all the time, right? Like, when he gets into that, right, when he becomes Darth Sidious.
He probably has, like, a little secret spot where he goes and does his little secret Goth communications.
He's got, like, a little wardrobe, like, podcasting studio.
Well, that's pretty much when he makes his video calls.
Sort of. Are you attracted to anybody? Domination. But you've got to love someone. Yes. Pain.
So it's revealed that
treachery.
So it's obviously revealed that Darth Sidious is Darth Maul was one of the Sith, and then
I loved that
line. So
that whole conversation where it's like, you know, there's always two, master and apprentice, but which one have we killed?
And then it cuts to Palpatine. Which I didn't realize until I watched it this one time.
You know what's going to happen. It's just great. It's so good.
I'd never picked up on that cut before. And I was like, oh, okay. Wow, there you go.
Yeah, it's so obvious.
Yeah. Very obvious foreshadowing, but hey.
Anakin.
That's the end of this movie.
Not quite.
They have a giant parade.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a big parade. Yeah, that's right.
Yes!
Yeah. And that's right.
Because that's important, because that's the moment where I finally realized that the main character was Boss Nass. Because he's like sitting smack bang in the middle of that whole, like the last shot. It's like, oh, that's who the main character was. Got it.
Right.
Sweet. Finish. Excellent.
Script writing.
Yeah. Great. Because I was very confused up until that point. Boss Nass, yeah. Main character. Got it.
Boss
Moving
Nass.
Moving on.
Yeah. And then we go to the end credits. So, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, there's also some sneaky little eyes between Anakin and Padme.
Oh, which is sus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's bit. Foreshadowing.
Why?
Yeah,
foreshadowing a potential felony.
Why was Anakin a 10-year-old kid in this movie? Why was
she's
he
an
not
angel?
Just, what?
I yeah. What?
How she's does that an answer angel. My
logic.
Question?
Logic.
I don't know, but she's an angel. Oh,
she's an angel. Yeah. What do you?
Wouldn't
what,
have been way yeah,
the
less weird.
Pilots talk about her.
Yeah.
Oh,
angels.
She's just, an angel.
Yeah.
Angel.
It would have been yeah. way less creepy if Anakin just played by Hayden Christensen the whole time. Not that I'm saying Hayden Christensen did a good job and should have got more screen time as.
That's
Anakin,
so weird, though. It's like, we're not going to train him. He's too old. He's not that old.
He's not
30.
That old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not that we're old. Just,
if because it would have also paralleled better with Luke Skywalker's story if they
just
were.
Just train
like,
me. Stop being a pussy. Yeah.
Maybe they could have just made her younger.
Or that.
But she's like, meant to be the queen.
Yeah.
How young do you want your
queen?
Queen
Elizabeth was like four.
Yeah. Yeah, you can be a young queen. Like,
funnily
it would
enough,
have been a way better reveal if like all the decoys were actually older, and then she's revealed to be the queen.
Wow!
Like, yeah, no,
actually,
you know,
no,
the whole.
No, I'm with
the,
you. It's just a funny word.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know that she's actually meant to be. She's actually meant to be 14 in this movie as well.
Well, they nailed it.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. She's meant to be 14, well, and Anakin's nine.
It's hard for guys.
Mm-hmm. And Anakin's meant to be how old?
Nine.
Ten.
And so
nine.
Yeah. And then the next movie's 10 years later. So that's 19 and 24.
That's fine. That's so, legal.
It's really
that's
not
okay.
That. But she's
it's
clearly
just
not.
Okay.
She's clearly not that age, though.
No, like she's definitely
yeah.
not 14.
Why,
in this movie.
Why recast his role in the next one? Because obviously George Lucas has realized that there is a massive age gap and they mm-hmm. can't play a love interest in the next one. So why not just do the same thing? Like actually cast them, like you were saying, cast them through the whole three, the same mm-hmm. character, like the same
exactly.
actors.
Exactly.
Like
have Hayden Christensen
how
in
do
this
you, okay.
or, you know, whatever.
Or what, sorry, just what have say? Two different actors
yeah.
playing the
recast.
Roles in the first one. Recast yep. Natalie Portman as... Mm-hmm. someone aww. Else. Like yeah. Natalie Portman's great, but she mm-hmm. could play the older version.
Or she could go on and do better movies.
Yeah, but, all hey. That too, yeah. But
okay.
Man, how much would it suck that you like you get this role and you get to be in Star Wars? You'd be mm-hmm. so excited. And then years from like now, you realize that you were in the bad Star Wars movies. Like,
I don't think the current fan base would agree with you on that argument.
I don't think you'd agree with that, Jason.
I think people seem to hate Rey and the current movies a lot more than the prequels.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
The amount of hate that...
We don't talk about her.
Oh, just... I'm,
who?
Exactly. You're making my point for me.
Right.
You're making it more clear.
Yeah,
I actually really enjoyed this movie, to be honest, cool. like watching it yay. Again. But mm-hmm. I only watched the last half an hour. So.
Yeah, we can tell.
This was really good.
Look,
yeah,
compared to the
again,
month of Star Wars that we've had, holy yeah. crap, this was good.
This is so
oh,
much better.
Awesome. Yeah,
so it's so much better. And I'm so glad that we're doing this one week because mm-hmm. I actually did watch the next two and...
Brilliant.
Paid attention. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. For me, it's probably 2.5 birds. It's just getting through. But mm-hmm. but what about you guys? Where does it land for you on the birds front, Dean?
Dean.
I'm gonna give this a 2.5. I reckon.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it smack bang
smack
in the middle.
Smack bang
there.
In the middle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it 3.5.
Well,
there
you go.
Yeah,
because I really like it.
Yeah,
okay,
fair enough.
Fair enough.
Cool, cool. So nice. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Otherwise, if you can't contribute financially, you can contribute in another way, which would really help us out, and that's by writing a review, liking, subscribing. Republic's credits.
Yes, please exchange rate is fantastic right now.
Yeah, so. For sure. But no,
not
seriously.
Imperial credits.
Subscribing, writing a review.
Yeah.
Following us on any socials or on any platform that you listen to us on. That'd be really great. It really helps us to boost our numbers for like exposure and everything like that.
Yeah.
So helping us out in that way is just as good as supporting us on Patreon. But what else do we have? We've got next week, we're going to go over Attack of the Clones.
Episode two.
Paul is looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I'm going to give it right now if you want.
No,
we'll wait. We'll wait. We'll be surprised. But yeah, so that brings us to the end of the show. And that's a bye from me.
Bye.
Bye. May the force be with you.